Behold, a Savior is born.
I love it. And so we're going to be celebrating Christ's birth all month long. And we're starting this series 1 week prior because Advent really starts next Sunday. But we're starting it this week, and I titled this The Promised Hope. And the reason why we're doing this is just because I want to go in depth and fit it all in. And we don't have two services, so we're starting a week early. So tonight, the point of this sermon, this series, is to really look at the foundation of looking at the prophecies of Jesus, the birth, life, the death, the resurrection. But we're also going to look at how all these prophecies played a role into the coming of the Messiah that was foretold centuries prior. And it was the point of this was to give hope to people, to have a sign, to see these things. And as we talked in Bible study, they missed it. Not everybody, but the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they missed it. And so it seems like the ones that had the most knowledge and the most wisdom to these prophecies and these foretold scrolls missed it. But the purpose of Jesus coming is much greater than I think we still can understand today. And we often find ourselves doubting this gift of salvation and what Jesus did on the cross. And by God sending his son, coming down here to be truly God and truly man, it's just like, why? We think we can answer this, but we're going to go through and we're going to look at the birth of Jesus Christ and we're going to look at what prophecy says about this to have a better understanding. So when we're going through this, when I think of Jesus' birth, I think of the precepts to forgiveness. Like, I've been forgiven. To repent and believe I've been forgiven and I will be able to have eternity with God versus being separated for eternity from God. And so when we're going through this sermon series, I want you all to think this. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice to offer me hope and freedom from sin. You hope, right? But I also want you to kind of feel. We kind of avoid fillers because sometimes those are tricky. But I want you to feel this, that you're not alone. That you're loved by God enough to send his son. But then I want you all to do, and this is to go out here and to, I want you to confess your sins, my sins, our sins. But I also want you to confess Jesus Christ, and we need to have an open heart to receive these blessings and healings of what he's given us. And so, as we go through this, this is titled, Behold, a Savior is Born, and we're going to focus on this until the end of December. And so you're going to hear, Behold, a Savior is Born, over, and we're going to hear about Jesus all month long, and I can't be more delighted. It's not talked about enough. Right, we come in here and I do topic studies, but this is going to the topics Jesus. Everything that we do from this point forward is going to always be Jesus, and so we have to understand who Jesus is, who the prophets were waiting for, or say that we were waiting for, who the Messiah was. So we're going to go back 1,000 years to prophets of the Old Testament who wrote about a future day when God would send a Savior to his people. So we think about, we look at statistics of what is the accuracy that these prophets could have predicted this. It's crazy. There is no chance. There is no luck here. This was divine appointment that this was written about years and years ago to be fulfilled. And we are blessed because we are living in the fulfillment of the knowing of what happens. We know the end. They didn't. They were listening to these prophets, reading them in the synagogues, learning them in classes, waiting for this moment to be fulfilled. But as we stand here today, as we sit here today, we see it. He's in us and we are in him. But when we look at this, that we know that God, from the beginning of time, has already devised a plan and a way to set things in motion for healing from the devastating effects of sin. So the Garden of Eden, so when the Garden of Eden, when he walked in the midst of who he is, he sent his son to do the same thing, to die on that cross so we can walk in the midst with him for eternity. And I love this. And so when we go through Christmas and we go through this moment, and sometimes some people feel like, I'm not blessed, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. Yes! You need to change your perspective. You need to change your heart condition. You need to change the outlook of what you're calling a gift. Because Jesus has came, and we know he has, and we know the work on the cross. He said it is finished. So we need to live for this moment. See, I think about when I was younger. And I remember Christmas time was your traditional Christmas time. It's kids getting excited, making a list. Schools, you know, doing Christmas things at school, and you're doing Santa Claus stuff, and this, and this, and this, and this. And you send that list off, and you're waiting for that day. And then that day leading up to it, there's more anticipation, and you get so excited. And sometimes that day, excitement's dependent on the socioeconomic status of your parents. Sometimes it'd be one gift, and sometimes it'd be multiple. But as a child, and if you're coming up and you were raised right, that one gift would have been enough. Or if you got more, you would have been super thankful, and that was a great Christmas. But do you remember those moments that you would go to bed early, and this was probably the only time in your life as a child that parents could get you to go to bed at a time, and you couldn't wake up for the next morning to see the surprise, to see what is going to be delivered, to see the outcome. As I fast forward and I get older and I'm more mature in Christ, and as I grow, the anticipation was still there, to see the looks of my children's face, to sit up in the night before and get everything perfect for the kids to wake up in the morning. But this year, it's kind of hit me in the face to think about what God has done for us. I always relate my direct understanding of parenting to Him. And I know that not everyone are parents, but everyone has family. And I think about the nights that we're up and making sure all the toys are put neatly together so the child's face could be with awe. God is in heaven. He's around us, and he's doing the exact same thing in our lives, and he did this with his son. So we have to take the holiday and the excitement of Christmas and the gifts and the shopping and the food and the cookies and all these different things, but we have to focus and refocus it on the bigger picture that this holiday is about Jesus. It's about his birth, and that we have greater desires beyond our own electronics, toys, jewelry, or whatnots. But these greater things are like purpose, meaning, significance, forgiveness, and wholeness to our Creator through Christ. See, these are gifts that we don't have to wait to open. Today is the day to receive these gifts for eternity. So when we think about this, we don't have to go to bed with anticipation. We surrender with our hearts and our mouth and our words that Jesus is the Lord of our heart. We put our faith into Jesus. He says, here you go. Some people will feel like that gift is not enough and they got to continue working. They're still going to earn this salvation. But no, the gift is in Him through what God's done for us already through the works of Jesus Christ on the cross. So when we look through the sermon, I had to break this down into three different points. And the first point we're going to focus on is the signs of God gives us hope. So we look at the Old Testament and we look at what the prophecies were saying and this promise being fulfilled. God is blessing the entire world. It gives us hope. It gives them hope. It gives them hope to look forward to something. They were hoping for the coming Messiah. And we look at the word Messiah, and we can see that it means different things, but the one thing that kept popping up is the anointed one. In Bible study, we talked about how Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would fall upon someone. They would be anointed. But then oftentimes that Holy Spirit would also, that anointing would be taken away. But with Jesus Christ, He is the anointed one. He is. He's the Messiah that who would be sent to rescue and heal all of creation. Not just one person. You know, all of creation from those destructive effects of sin. We see it. It's portrayed around us. We look at the news. You cannot look at the news or the newspaper and see usually a joyous moment. We see the tragedies of what sin is doing. It's ravaging our world. It's ravaging our world to the point of murders and death and war and famines and all these things. But once again, we live in America, and for the most part, we're blessed. We see these things. We're looking outwardly through the world that's living these things, and we are blessed. But we see the common denominator is the effects of sin. See, the prophet Isaiah, he wrote about this hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. So we're going to be in Isaiah 7:14. So if you have your Bible, your phone, pull up Isaiah 7:14. Chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel." I have it up here on the screen as well. So Isaiah wrote about this coming. And when we think about the prophet Isaiah, and he says that the Lord Himself will give you a sign, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. We studied about that in Bible study, folks. Emmanuel is God with us. See, God promised to give His people a sign for when their promise and anointing would finally arrive. They were expecting something different. Jesus came into this world as a lamb, meek. They were expecting a warrior, fierce. But God meant this to give them something that they were going to wait for and watch for. Just as we today live in the world we live in, or waiting and watching for Jesus' return. We know the Word of God. We study the Word of God because He tells us the signs to watch for. Even though that we don't know the timing, neither did they. They didn't know the exact time that God was going to send His Son in baby form to this world to live the life He lived. But the ones that knew and the ones that saw the signs, they understood it, just like the wise men, just like the shepherds. But this was hundreds of years. We think about hundreds of years before Mary and Joseph ever came to Bethlehem. Hundreds of years before they were even crowded in this dusty stable. This was hundreds of years that God spoke through the prophets. He used them to share the word, to give us hope of the coming of the Messiah. God told His people to watch for a virgin who became pregnant. Mary, a little girl. See, think about this. Is when we think about a virgin Mary, that kind of defies all odds for what we know about biology, right? So it was interesting that He would use a virgin to birth His son. But this would also, in fact, I love this, is because this would be a miracle. This would be an outright miracle for Mary to give birth to Jesus. And this would indicate that this baby was of God, not man. And that she would name Him Emmanuel. God with us. I want that to sit with us. Behold, a Savior is born. Emmanuel, God with us. A lot of people say, where is He? He's with us. He's in us through Him, and we're in Him. He's with us. See, the signs of God working in our lives, in your life, are oftentimes the things that you cannot produce on your own. We're witness to this. If you have any testimony, you know that you stand here before a righteous God, that you cannot give credit to yourself. These are things that only God can do And this is where hope is born. So when we share our story, the hope in what's been through us, living through us, can be shared to other people so they can see this and taste this and learn about Christ and what God's done in your life so they can be hopeful in Him through your story. See, because if I could do things on my own, I wouldn't need a God. I wouldn't need a God. But the truth is I need that divine power. I need that divine power to save a marriage before as the enemy attacks it. I need that divine interaction to make sure my son lives a life that's called to him. There's those moments in my life that I needed that divine nature to free me from addictions and sin, or that depression, or those highs and lows of life. And what did he do? He sent a virgin, Mary, he sent a son to a virgin Mary. See, if God comes into this world this way, we know that he can do anything he wants. If we go back, you don't have to go there. I'm going to say Luke 1:37, it says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." But without Him? Point two, is God with us is the hope we need. We hang on to this, that God is with us. That is the hope we will always need. It's the name that's given to this child. Jesus is Emmanuel, is a Hebrew. It says God with us. But when creation cried out for help, God did not tell it to get its act together. God did not say, get to the surface, certain point of your life, come close. But rather, he saw and he made a rescue attempt for the world. He knew that we cannot do this on our own. He knew that he had to make the first move. We have the propensity to live in sin, and yet that we think we have to get it together in our life to reach a certain point before we start doing. We have people that are waiting to a certain point in their life before they walk through that door to come to church. But God, just like in the garden, walked in the midst of the day with Adam and Eve. He came to us through Jesus Christ. And while yet we were sinners, God came to us and ultimately died for us. See, Paul tells us in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't die when we got our life together, perfected in such a way that, good job, no. He died on the cross for exactly where you're at today. And if that today is well put together, glory to be to God. But if that day is chaos and a mess and you're barely holding it together, this is what he came for. For you to surrender those moments and that mess and that chaos to his son, to repent and believe. God did not come because we deserved it. That's the last thing. He didn't come because we earned it. He came to us because he loves us and he knew we couldn't get ourselves out of this mess that we're in. It was the knowledge that God would one day return for his people. That's what inspired their hope for that day, that God was going to come back. That I can't get myself out of this mess, that I need you, God, to come, to be a mighty warrior, to fight this battle. But God sends a lamb meek and humble to serve. We are inspired because he has come and this was foretold. We get to live in today where we see the prophecy that was already fulfilled and now we're living in Christ. I'm going to read the story. It's from an article. It's called Unfinished Business. And I hope this kind of pulls together some insight, and I love perspectives. But it says, one night at a dinner, a man who spent many summers in Maine was fascinated with his companions by telling of experiences in a little town named Flagstaff. See, this town was to be flooded and part of a large lake for which a dam was being built. In the months before it was to be flooded, all improvements and repairs in the whole town were stopped. What was the use of painting a house if it were to be covered in water in 6 months? Why repair anything when the whole village was to be wiped out? So week by week, the whole town became more and more bedraggled, more gone to seed, more woe begone. Then he added by way of explanation, there was no faith in the future, there's no power in the present. So God used the prophets in the Old Testament to bring an understanding to the fruitioners what is to come. That yes, this is all dying, but yes, something greater is coming. And the Israelites waited on God to come. And as we look back and we look, He came. The prophecies were fulfilled, and there's still prophecies that are to be fulfilled. But God came, and He's presently with us. Emmanuel, God with us. See, there's a lot of us in this story, and it slapped me in the face because I'm guilty. I stand here today guilty with this mentality of what's the point sometimes to put siding on the house when Jesus is going to come and this world's going to be burned up. But we have to look at, as Paul addressed the old church, is don't stop doing what you're doing. Jesus is going to return, but we have to start to keep living for Him. Yes, fix up the house. Yes, do things to honor Him in all that you do. We can't allow this woe-begone mentality to happen. We can't allow a blessing that's been given to us through Christ Jesus to go to waste. We have to stop fulfilling our own prophecies, our self-fulfilling prophecies. See, when we lose hope, we stop pursuing what? The things that matter the most. Our spouses, our children, our faith. But the good news today is there was a virgin who gave birth. There was a child named Emmanuel. God is with us. Never lose heart. Because as we walk this walk of sanctification, we know that this path at times gets lonelier and lonelier. Because we're becoming set apart. When we're set apart of the world, we're not going to be relational with the world. And when we're not relational with the world, guess what? We depend on all of us here. Brothers and sisters in Christ have a significant role in our lives. Because we all should be walking the same path together. Point three, Jesus' sacrifice gives us hope. First was the birth that we read about in Isaiah 7. The second event confirms our hope is in the right place. The second event we find, it's prophetically written, spoken about in the Isaiah, but 53:5. So let's go there. So Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, I'm going to put up on the screen. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. Hundreds of years before Jesus came. Hundreds of years. Jesus, He grows up to be this man. Jesus was born by a Virgin Mother Mary named Emmanuel, God with us. But Jesus grows up to be the man that Isaiah is talking about, that He carried this powerful ministry on earth for 3 years. Hundreds of years before, He was already talked about in prophecy that He's going to be arrested, crucified, and killed. Isaiah wrote about how the manger will lead to the cross. I love this. He already wrote about this. That by Jesus' birth is ultimately going to lead to His death. on the cross. See, Jesus was pierced in his hands and feet by nails holding him to the cross. He was crushed and beaten by his accusers. He was punished for the wrongs he never committed himself. He received these wounds on our behalf. It's by the suffering that he went through that we have freedom from our own sin and rebellion. Though you and I deserve everything that Jesus received, the death and the penalty for all the sinful things that we've done, Jesus took this on himself. See, we find hope and healing and freedom and wholeness of eternal life, and it's made possible because of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Here's a quote that I came across. It says, "If someone once said that if Christmas is the promise, then Easter is the proof." I love that. We celebrate Christmas by knowing that the resurrection was coming, is coming. See, we have this awesome privilege of offering hope to people that are lost or seeking and sharing Christ to others. Think about this. We're so caught up in finding the right gift on Amazon or JCPenney's or wherever it may be, that the gift that we need to be given is right in front of our face through our testimony in Christ. Because Christ is Emmanuel, he's God with us. And when he's with us, he lives in us and through us. And so the greatest gift that we can see, it may cost us something. It may cost us a disconnection with friends that we thought we had of this world. It may cost us loneliness, rejection. But this is a sacrifice for what Christ has done on the cross for me that I'm willing to do for you. Caden, Tristan, you know you go to school with a bunch of kids that are godless. He's with us, but right now their veil is not lifted and they don't know who he is. But it's only through your all's life, our life, that we can show Christ to the world, that they see what is different about Mary, what's different about Frank, that they start questioning these things. And then maybe one day they're going to say, I want to have their life. But then you share all the persecutions and struggles and the sin that you struggle with them and say, my life is far from perfect, but Jesus is. They're going to listen to your story, your testimony of who Christ is, because people engage with stories. Not all engage with Scripture. So this holiday season, as we go throughout Christmas and we lead up to Christmas Day, our hearts should be filled with this hope that the Messiah came in a mess to deliver a message so he can give us a testimony to deliver the message of him to the world. That our life, that we can find hope in the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Outside of that, what is Christmas really about? Let's pray. Father, Lord, just thank you so much for sending your Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Father, thank you for the times that we've doubted and the times that we just take this gift and we do nothing with it. Father, today we repent. We repent to where we fall short and that we actively know the moments to where we're actively sinning. Father, forgive us. But Father, let's take this news and this joy and the peace of who Jesus Christ is and let's deliver it to the world through our lives, Father. Just position our hearts with boldness and courageous acts so that we can step out in faith to show your Son to the world, even if that means that we be rejected just like he did. Father, as we go throughout this holiday season leading up to Christmas, utilize this ministry in a way that your will be done in all facets of this ministry. That we become servants in the hands and feet of Christ in all that we do, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.